This is CIOI, Hamilton's home for alternative. Indy 101.5 FM.
Hey, everybody. Happy Tuesday. I'm Sarah Jessica, and this is Hot Shots on Air. And welcome back. If this is not your first time, if it isn't, I really appreciate that. Thank you for tuning in again this week. Tonight, I am hanging out with the band Red Dog Rock. We're actually only hanging out with two of the members tonight, but they're a classic rock cover band based in Hamilton and Burlington. And tonight, I'm speaking with Mackenzie, the lead vocalist, and Kurt, the bassist. And you can find Red Dog Rock online at Red Dog Rock on Instagram. Pretty simple. And guys, can the listeners find any videos of you guys on like YouTube, recordings on Bandcamp, anything like that?
From this moment right now, not quite. Pretty much it's just the Instagram. So it's just Red Dog Rock with no spaces.
Okay.
And yeah, on top of that, we should be coming out with some cover videos, starting up a YouTube and pulling our whole image together one bit at a time. Pretty much I've inspired these guys to really step it up and get a bunch of exposure and as much publicity as we can. Like we what is it Max, we played our first show a week ago
last weekend, and went really well. Got a lot of got a couple of people asking for backyard parties and stuff like that, so we're definitely open to that kind of thing.
Well, congrats. I mean, that's super fun.
Yeah.
So you're really, really brand new. Like you just played your first show.
Yeah. We've been only playing, lead guitarist and I, we've been playing for about a year, and we just started incorporating our bassist Kurt and our drummer Matt just a couple months ago, I guess, or 3 months ago or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd say like, cause Mac and I met at work and kind of started off as we were joking around, like, yeah, we should start a band. We should do this. We should do this. And he thought about it. I was like, well, you know what? Actually, do you play bass? I was like, yeah, I can play bass. And it kind of just started with a joke, which then rolled into actually happening. And then we probably played for like 2 months, had like one potential gig to come up, which was the Beach Bats hosted it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they hosted it and they invited us out. And with the three of us before Matt, we probably practiced like maybe a month and a half.
Yeah.
And then with Matt, like three times.
Yeah. And once Matt came into it, it all just kind of, once you get a drummer into the mix, just changes the whole vibe and tightens everything up.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. And just to kind of introduce you guys to everybody listening, how would you describe your sound and style as a band?
Well, I think we have a lot of influences, I guess. Mitch is into our lead guitarist. He's very progressive with his music playing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more of on the country rock side, and Kurt's gone to music.
That's where Sarah and I met. We met at Mohawk. So,
yeah.
So, and I lived in the music house as Sarah knows, and
yep,
it's all like the jazz stuff, but I definitely come from from the West Coast. So a lot of grunge and punk from like Seattle and stuff. So I definitely say I'm like a rock alternative punk player for the most part.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What about Matt?
Matt. man, that's just a raging ball of energy. I don't even know if he like has, I don't even know if he has like one thing he'd say. You just like, hey, we're going to play this. And he goes, yeah, man, we're going for it. And he's just, he's in 100%. I love that guy. Yeah. Him and I have synced up like almost immediately. It's been so much fun.
Yeah. So we're pretty diverse.
Okay.
But I guess we don't even try, but we are kind of going towards the grunge rock vibe.
Sure, sure. Would you say that you share specific influences?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Like if you're listening to like rock alternative with like, so like Foo Fighters, Nirvana, what was it, Puddle of Mud, Alice in Chains, Motorhead, like we're all pretty into that stuff. And then Mitch and I also have like the progressive rock stuff, which would be like Animals as Leaders and Intervals, Canadian band. And then what you and I bonded over, Propagandhi, which was pretty funny. Yeah. Never heard of anybody else who knows about Propagandhi.
I heard about them at a bar gig that Mitch and I went to last year. Actually, one of the guys was like, you should do a Propagandhi cover or something like that.
Yo, hot take. We do ska sucks.
And what would you guys say that you take from your major influences? Their sound and style, their production, their stage presence. What do you take from those bands?
Well, that's a good question.
Yeah.
Man, that's a thought provoking one. I gotta think for a second.
I'd say sound before anything. I mean, I guess my voice kind of goes towards like the Kurt Cobain kind of style. But
yeah, I'd say it's like that. Mm-hmm. It's like who's the singer from Puddle of Mud?
I'm not sure.
I can't remember his name, but you definitely like, you can nail that. Alice in Chains, you got solid, but it's like that kind of natural grittiness in your voice, which is just iconic with the Seattle grunge scene. Like it's that, and then also the country, you can get that nice little like baritone and bassy feeling. They're just like, it's the full sounding. There's nothing light about it. It's just very punchy and has that edge to it, which is awesome.
Yeah. And then there's Mitch. He's he does his own thing. He's very good at
like harmonizing on top of your stuff,
winging stuff. I'm talking about.
Oh yeah, I know, he's an improviser for sure, 100%. He has ears like just golden ears.
Yeah. So nothing we play really, it's got our own twist to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of hard to pinpoint.
Well, yeah, we don't do like exact covers. It's like we're covering songs, but we make sure that it's true to us as a group.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
That's mm-hmm. the best. I think that's the best way to put it. Mm-hmm.
Cool. Do you guys remember what you listened to as kids? What you had, you know, what your parents played around the house growing up, that kind of thing. And do you feel as though those early influences have an impact on your current style?
Wow.
Definitely. I always remember my Aunt Jan always cranked the Tragically Hip. I think that was like the first band that I was like head over heels for. Typical Canadian stuff, you know?
Oh yeah. From mm-hmm. where we're sitting right now, there's a Tragically Hip poster staring us in the face. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Other than that, I think the first band that I got into like on my own was Linkin Park.
Mm-hmm.
Which doesn't really make sense to our band.
Actually, we play Numb.
No, that's the thing. We play Numb, though. Man.
What'd you listen to as a kid?
Well, definitely my dad probably brought me up on classic rock. So, like, classic rock radio stations, which means, of course, Tragically Hip's in there because Canadian content is on a timer. And got a lot. My mom was into jazz, so like Ella Fitzgerald was played a lot, which apparently when I was real, real young, that was like the artist that would always make me smile no matter what. And I was like 4 when that happened. It would just be like, oh, Ella's on. And then just me grinning ear to ear. But then after that, honestly, I think my biggest musical influence had to be the Tony Hawk Pro Skater video games. It was like, it was like classic rock. And then as soon as I got hold of that Tony Hawk game, that's when just punk took over my life. Mm-hmm. Just everything. I still listen to them. Like, I could put on a 5-hour playlist and skip none of the songs.
It's funny you say that, because a couple of the bands that I listened to came from like the NHL 06.
That would be my number two, though.
Yeah. Pretty sure Motorhead was on there.
Yeah.
And Smashing Pumpkins and
Trouble Charger. I could go on. It's hilarious how much I can name. I could like name the game and the song.
Oh, I bet you could.
Anyway, yeah, that would be musical influence. You can't really speak for the other two, but I'm going to ask them that question later, because now I want to know.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. And I find that usually when musicians get into music, it's because they're inspired by a certain piece that they listen to, whether it's a song or an album or an artist. Usually what sparks them to create music for themselves is listening to a piece that makes them think, oh man, I wish I made that. Did you guys have that moment?
Oh, all the time.
Oh man.
There's so many songs. I mean,
yeah,
every song is relatable to somebody, right?
Yeah.
They're everywhere. Like even some of the songs that we do in certain times of my life, you know, all of them. Numb, especially like,
oh god,
the pain.
Yeah, no.
Pain.
Yo, with like quarantine and all that, numb, listening to it now, it hits different. Like that kind of isolation and coming back out of it and getting used to like socializing again. Yeah, like numb for me is like a whole new beast.
It's, yeah,
which makes it super fun to play.
Yeah,
yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Do you remember like a pivotal moment, maybe like in your teens or something, where you discovered a piece of music and that sparked, you know, a larger interest for you?
Oh man. When I worked at GFS, we had like a conversation with one of the drivers, and we were talking about the songs that really change your life or the ones that can make the hairs on your arm raise.
Mm-hmm.
Like those are the songs. For him, it was like Du Hast by Rammstein, because he went live and he just, every time he hears it, it's just immediately the hairs are up and he's just like, this is it. This is, I'm trying to think what song did that to me last, because I have like, I think I started making a Spotify playlist of all the songs that made the hair stand up.
Mm-hmm.
Do you got anything like that, Mac? As he furiously looks through Spotify.
Yeah, like, I mean, I started listening to like heavier music, maybe in my preteens even, but, I just always remember listening to Killswitch Engage, and just some parts of their songs are just very full. And it's like a lot of, instrumentals. It's just beautiful music. And then you get Howard just screaming at you.
Oh, that's the one that got me now. I remember, since you mentioned Killswitch Engage, this is Absolution.
Yeah.
That's the song.
Great song.
Absolutely. And My Curse, those two?
Yep.
Definitely. Highly recommend.
Mitch and I tried to play that My Curse. It's tricky. We pulled it off.
Nice.
But Sunrise in Texas, Blackberry Smoke, is one of those, definitely one of those songs that make my hair stand up.
Mm-hmm.
Starts off slow and there's a build up and then it just, you hit the wall.
Yeah.
And it, yeah, comes at you hard.
Yeah. Yeah. How did you guys get into playing music? Did you start on an instrument? Did you start with vocals? How did that begin for you?
You want to go first? Cause mine's hilarious.
Yeah. I started playing. Geez, grade six, I guess. We had our first music class, and I was handed a bass guitar. And I saw my other friends were playing like six strings and stuff. And I said, oh, you know what? I want a six string. So my parents got me a six string, and I've just been kind of banging away on that for, I don't know, 15 years or something. Mm-hmm. I got into vocals in high school. I took another course in high school that was a music production class. So we got taught a little bit about recording and performing. We actually played a couple concerts like for the school. I remember one year the Flatliners came, Prophets was there, and a bunch of great bands back in the day.
Sweet.
Well, I like
to. That's what kind of sparked my inspiration for sure.
Yeah.
I wish I could say that my story began with a third grade recorder, but no, it didn't. oddly enough, I used to have the most brutal stage fright you've ever seen, and the stubbornness of a mule.
Yeah.
So actually, I started on piano. I didn't get that good, but like I have like my parents remind me like they don't even recognize me when I'm up on stage now, because you would glue yourself to a chair and make sure that nobody would lift you up and take you anywhere near the instrument.
Yeah, piano's such a great place to start with music. It's like the ultimate starting point for sure.
It's so visual.
It is, yeah.
But yeah, so piano lasted a little bit. My dad bought a guitar. I stole it from him. Because, you know, again, that whole punk rock thing, like Tony Hawk, I was playing that. I'm like, all right, I think I'm a bad guy now. So
you're a rebel.
Yeah. Without a cause. Great movie,
mm-hmm.
though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So pretty much I permanently borrowed his guitar, and I still have it.
Yeah.
And kind of started seeing, like, he was introducing me to Hendrix, Eric Clapton, all those classic rock guys. And I was starting to learn a little bit of this and that. And I just felt more natural in my hands than piano.
Mm-hmm.
So then spent a couple of years doing the opposite of Mac. It went guitar, then bass, then back to guitar for like a decade and a bit. Now I'm back on bass with a little bit of guitar, but now a little bit more piano.
Funny how further and further you get into like expanding your music knowledge, the more instruments you want to play too.
I had a
drum set, and the only thing I don't have a bass. I've always wanted a bass guitar, but I mean, there's one in here now.
There's like three in here.
How many guitars do we have in here?
No, we don't need to count. Okay. Nobody needs to count, because everything, you know, that's like minimum $800 a piece. And I just don't want to calculate it, because we have not made that money back yet.
So true.
So anyway, if you want to make a bunch of money, come to the address.
There we go.
And start stealing.
Yeah. There we go.
But yeah.
Are there any instruments that you guys don't play currently that you'd like to learn?
Fiddle.
Fiddle?
I'd love to learn the fiddle, yeah.
Cool.
I don't know why.
Do you think that would fit in within the band?
No.
You say that, I bet we could make it work.
Oh, yeah.
Why not?
Make anything work, for sure.
Like, what? Yeah. We got it. Oh, yeah, I forgot. We both have banjos. We actually remember that whole idea I had about doing like tours up in Muskoka, where you just go between all the campsites and see how long you can go on vacation for the summer just by doing like bluegrass parties throughout campsites. Like, I really want to do that, because I just want to see how long it can go.
That would be a lot of fun. I bet there'd be a lot of free beer.
I bet.
And bonfires.
Yeah.
I'm sold. And it's a campsite, so I can take the dog with me. Just, you know, put all his food as a business expense. Say he's security.
Exactly. Were you guys confident from the get-go when it came to playing music live, or like, how was that journey for you? And I know, Kurt, you mentioned having pretty debilitating anxiety about that.
Oh, yeah. That was like playing solo and playing with a group is way different. Because like when it was piano, when I was really, really young, that would all be solo. Like, even if I had someone else do like a duet with piano on me, like, I had no interest. It wasn't until my first round of college at on Vancouver Island that I even had to like come to terms with processing the like, I guess it would be like the inner turmoil of getting up on stage in front of people.
Mm-hmm.
But would definitely help us having at least one or two other people there that have had like prior stage experience, just because like somebody else's calming presence on stage is definitely infectious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. I think everybody, when they start off, they're going to be nervous, right? I mean, yeah. Even to this day, you know, if you're not having the best of days and you have to play a show, I mean, you're going to have that little bit of nervous energy. But I think once you get past that first song and, you know, get into it, that kind of fades away. Because I know I played a long time just on my own. So I had no friends and no musical friends. And, you know, you get used to it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And people love the music you play. You know that. It's, you know, you're just doing your thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think for me, it was more like that mentality switch was, well, I guess it's almost selfish, but instead of thinking of trying to please the crowd, you get up on stage and you kind of fulfill your own need of like, I'm going to play what I have practiced, rehearsed. I have it exactly the way I want it. And you're actually just playing for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as you're like doing it for you, it almost translates outwards to the crowd.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. You can see that, you know, they know the difference. People aren't stupid. Mm-hmm. The difference between somebody who's doing it to please somebody and somebody that's actually up there doing it for themselves and having a good time doing it.
Absolutely. Yeah. How did your family and friends react to you pursuing music?
It's always been pretty supportive. I don't know mm-hmm. if they've taken it seriously. And, you know, even now, like, the music industry is huge. I mean, mm-hmm. there's so much. It's a long way to the top, you know?
Oh, yeah.
We're at the bottom. Eventually, it might happen. Maybe not, but we're going to see. I know we have a lot of talent within our band. And we all get along. We're all good friends.
Yeah, Matt's my rock.
Absolutely.
He's not here, and hopefully he hears this, but man, like our first stage, it took like him counting in 1, 2, 3, go, and him and I just locked in, and it was the most fun.
Yeah.
Like, our first gig was so much fun.
It was a lot.
I can't wait to do it again.
Yeah, me neither. And we played 8 songs, and yeah, we rocked them all. We rocked them all. It was a great time. Crowd was into it. We brought some friends, and I think they really created a vibe at the front of the stage, you know, because they were dancing and got other people dancing, and
they made their own shirts. They're our number one fans.
For sure.
That's so cool. So, Kurt, I know that you went to school for music. Mackenzie, I don't know if you did. What was that experience like, and what was the most important lesson that you feel like you took away from that program?
Is that a question for me? Sorry.
Yeah. So that'd also be like, even if you didn't take formal education, like I've done college level courses, but have you done like private lesson, self-study on the internet, or like how did you go about learning your instrument?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm mostly self-taught. I took a couple courses in high school, like I said, and there's one in grade 10 or something. I was 16 or something like that. And, just taught me the basic chords and, you know, a couple strumming patterns and stuff. And I basically just took it from there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Vocal lessons too. I've taken a couple vocal lessons from a few different people.
Yeah.
And they help a lot, actually.
Awesome. Great. And yeah, Kurt, what do you feel like was the most important lesson that you took away from your time in Mohawk?
I think it would it would have to be the connections and new musicians I got to meet. Honestly, mm-hmm. I think that was like the biggest thing. Like, again, there's tons and tons of musicians that never go to, well, anything. Like, they have like no education. They just kind of learn it, or they just stumble around and figure out what works for them. as I keep getting to figure out, when I'm like, oh, we can do this, they're like, we're gonna slow down. I have no idea what you just said. So I get to be this band's music nerd, which is hilarious, but
slowly but surely we'll figure out something to mm-hmm. to bridge the gap. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was definitely the connections made. Cause cool. Our first gig was also like a Mohawk reunion, because like, yeah, I don't know, like half the crowd I knew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Did you two grow up in Hamilton?
Yep. I grew up in Watertown, actually.
Mm-hmm. I think that's still considered Hamilton, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And what was the music scene like growing up, and how would you compare it to the music scene today?
Growing up to compared to what it is today? Yeah, a lot more pop influence, I guess. I mean, there's always pop. Pop's been around for, you know, decades.
Hey, pop is like changed what it is. It used to be James Brown,
right? Phil Collins,
right?
Like, and now it's definitely changed a lot.
Well, what even like, because when we've been playing open mics and stuff in Burlington, it's kind of like all the music scenes have definitely shifted a little bit since everything's been opening up. So it's also kind of interesting that we're coming into it as a new band as like the scenes are all restarting.
Yeah. And that's, yeah, that may just play to our advantage. And it definitely is, because look at the Casbah. I mean, we're playing a show at the Casbah on the 16th, and they reached out to us because I guess they must have saw that we were a Hamilton band and they needed somebody to fill a spot.
Cool. Well, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I'll make sure to bring that up at the end so you guys can plug all the details and everything.
Okay. All right.
That's going to be awesome. I love the Casbah. No pressure, but who were some talented local artists, so in the Hamilton, GTHA kind of area, that you think deserve more attention?
Do you want to go first?
I mean, a band that I've always loved, they're from Toronto, is the Flatliners. And mm-hmm. I've seen them two or three times, and every time they hit home. Like, their energy on stage is huge. It's just like nonstop, bang, 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 bang. Mm-hmm. And I just love that. It's just a punk rock ska vibe. And I think they're bigger over in the UK, across seas. They're still growing and growing. But if you like that hard hitting sound, then yeah, definitely check out the Flatliners.
Cool.
100%.
Also, I did check out Dr. Tongue. They're really cool too. They only have one song on Spotify so far, but I believe they're from Hamilton as well. Their one song is great. It's awesome.
And they're the ones playing on the 16th, right? They're the headliners at Casbah.
They are.
Dr. Tongue, I like that name.
Like, you'd almost think that was Gene Simmons, but it's not.
Yeah, for sure.
Let's see. Probably give a nice little shout out to my buddy Noah, who plays in a band in Toronto called the High Loves. They're really good. Like, I think not that long before like COVID started, they I think they got like Canadian Songwriter Award for like the John Lennon Awards. So he got to fly out to LA and go meet a bunch of people. It was like, I'm so proud of what that guy's done. And Yeah, no, definitely check out the High Loves if you're ever in Toronto.
Yeah, and you know what? Also, like, we did say the name, but the Beach Bats.
Oh,
they
for
got
sure.
some really cool music. Mr. Mule. Mm-hmm. Oh, News on Mute. Who else played in that show that we did?
There was...
The Beans.
The Beads. Where's the other one? Oh, there's Captain Wildchild's a good time. They're they're locals. They actually, yeah, I know you met Nigel. He photobombed one of our pictures at the show. He photobombed.
And oh, really?
I like didn't even notice until the next day. It's like I think it's my favorite picture of the night.
Sounds like Nigel.
Oh, it's 100%.
Yeah, they were on here a couple weeks ago, actually.
Nice.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So if you guys could collaborate with any musician, go big on this one, you know, don't, you know, totally go big. Who would it be?
Oh my goodness. Is that ever a question?
I know she's been hitting us with all the hard ones. Like I'll have to go to bed after this. any musician, is this just alive or dead?
It'd be really cool is Incubus. I love Incubus is because we've been talking about our writing process and what we're gonna do with it, and we might go towards that. Like we're pretty heavy right now with our cover music, but we might be going towards the more psychedelic chill side of things, and I'm sure we'll write all kinds of stuff, but Incubus just has that kind of like when they do their acoustic live performances, I love that vibe. Like it's so cool and flowy.
Mm-hmm.
There's too many artists.
Mm-hmm.
Like
you can name a few.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
this is where it divulges into what's your super group? Like, if I could play with guitar players, I'd play with Aaron Marshall from Intervals. He's a Toronto-based guitar player. Love him. I'd play with Pliny in a heartbeat from Australia. Mm-hmm. That's another guitar player. Thundercat would be super fun.
Mm-hmm.
Who else? You know what? Let's not even go over the top. I think I would love to play something with Devin Savas from like, I met him at Mohawk and he was at the show first show too. I would love to play with Devin, a phenomenal bass player. The fact that he complimented me, I think I almost teared up.
Aw, nice.
You're softy.
I know. Someone's got to be.
You know who would be really cool? I've always wanted to go to a Foo Fighters concert and hold because he brings people up on stage sometimes when they're like, let me play Monkey Ranch or something. I'd be like, let me sing Everlong or whatever. That'd be really cool to do something with Dave Grohl.
I think I'm starting to put a super group together. I don't know where I'd fit in on it, but I'd figure it out. But yeah, let's put Dave Grohl on drums, Aaron Marshall on guitar. Who would I want on bass?
Flea. I mean, Ooh. Who doesn't want a Flea?
Ooh. Ooh, Flea would make it so crazy. It's like, you know what? Yeah, let's go with Flea. Let's go with Flea on bass. Vocals. Who would I do? Well, if it could be the ghost of Ghost of Chris Cornell. Let's go with the Ghost of Chris Cornell.
Mm-hmm. That'd be really awesome.
And then maybe I'd be like rhythm guitarist just because I'd want to be able to play, but then also just be able to sit there in awe while playing chords and just watching this craziness go on around me. That's how I think I'd do it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
My countryside says Neil Young.
Mm-hmm.
Neil Young, Tom Petty would be so cool to do something with. again, like Blackberry Smoke, their lead singer, Charlie Starr. That's another one that's way up there with Dave Grohl for me, for sure.
Absolutely. A couple super groups right there.
Oh man, I was right. I called it right from the start. It did divulge right into what I thought it was going to. I manifested it.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to hit pause on this conversation for a quick second and play everyone a single that Red Dog Rock often covers. Here's New Orleans is Sinking from the Tragically Hip.
All right. The blue on the street, loose and can bleed under skies so smoky blue-green. I can't foresee a Dixie dead sheep, so we dance the sidewalk clean. My memory is muddy, what's this river that I'm in? New Orleans is sinking, man, and I don't want to swim.
We'll be right back.
For anybody just joining us, this is Hot Shots on Air, and I'm speaking with the members of the Hamilton and Burlington-based classic rock cover band, Red Dog Rock. We just came back from playing New Orleans is Sinking from the Tragically Hip, which is a song that you guys often cover. What does that song mean to you guys, and why did you choose to play that?
Mac, 100% Mac.
Yeah. We all me, for sure.
I know, I've just been playing that song. It's one of those tunes that I've done thousands and thousands of times before, and
you can keep doing it.
And I don't know. It's got a cool groove to it. Everybody enjoys it. It's kind of a crowd pleaser for the most most of the time, and it doesn't matter where you play it. It's one of those songs that kind of fits in.
Sure, absolutely. What is it about a song that draws you guys to it and makes you want to play it? Is there a certain theme? Does it have to have certain elements? Does it have to be within a certain genre? Like what draws you to those songs that you choose to play?
Would this be in the band context or as individuals?
Good question. I mean, I guess as a band mainly, are there songs that you individually have wanted to play, but then you brought it forward to the band and you've decided not to play it? And if so, why? Like, you know, what makes a song enter that final round of, you know, you've approved it and now you want to practice it and play it live?
Honestly, I think the majority of the songs are songs that I previously knew, like just from playing on my own. But songs like Slither, I think we all kind of agreed to do that one just because it's got a really cool lead guitar melody with it, and it's one of those fast-paced upbeat songs. We tried to go towards the upbeat songs more, I think, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree with that because Slither was like the one that we were able to get everybody on board and like really feeling as a cohesive group almost immediately. That one took like what, two runs, and we're like, yeah, that one's in.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we all love that, playing that song. It's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you go for a certain theme when it comes to picking the music you cover? So let's say like, you know, from a certain genre, let's say like, also, do you go for like, you know, danceable, upbeats songs? Do you ever play softer things? Like, you know, what are the kind of themes that you look for in the music you choose?
We do have some softer, well, there's like one or two, like Drive, I think, is one of our softer ones.
Even like Wheat Kings, like we go
right
pretty chill with that song for sure.
But those still groove, like even the ones that are slower. Not slower, maybe that's like the wrong way to put it, but
softer,
you know, the ones where we have to remember to relax,
yeah,
and recover when we know there's like three more songs that are just physically taxing coming up. Mm-hmm. it feels like the ones like that are those almost recovery songs, like Matt and I can just lay right into the pocket with each other, and like we're as like a rhythm section, we're kind of on our own like groovy path sometimes. Like I almost forget about the guitar players. Like, I'm gonna lock in with Matt. Like I'm having so much fun playing with Matt that just like sometimes I forget.
Yeah. I'm usually listening to Matt too because his he's pretty solid. Like, I mean, he's a drummer. He's solid.
You know? And the faces, I just like
the bass. Because, it was Mitch or Matt, Mitch, and I for like not very long. And then once we added that bass in there, Ukert, like even Jeff, some of the people that I live here with, was like, man, once you get that bass into it, it's a whole different ballgame. Like, sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So when we're thinking of like songs to play, I think we just pick a song that we all are interested in and we all like listening to, and we just give it a try. And if it works, out, it works out.
I don't even think we say anything. Like, I don't. No. Like, we'll pick a song and we'll be like, oh, let's play this. Yeah. And then we'll kind of be like at the end of it, we'll be like, yeah. Well, you know what? I didn't really feel that one. Like that one didn't groove right. It's not the vibe. And then other ones, we don't even say like, yeah, that's in it. We all just kind of like grin at each other. We're like, yeah, that was the approval. Everyone smiled. That felt good.
Yeah. At the end of this interview, we'll be playing Ace of Spades by Motorhead. What does that song mean to you guys, and why did you choose to cover that one?
Oh, I love that song so much. It's honestly like, if you listen to the lyrics and you read the lyrics, that song is just about laying it all on the line. And I feel like that's me and us, and like, we're throwing it all out there. And, you know, we're just gonna
check it out. We can be social too. Hit us up on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Indy1015FM.
wishing he had lived. Hey. Hey. your wind.